This is Kathy Damaris, volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona, reading from the June 2026 issue of Arizona Highways. Annette McGivney is the author of Sela Farm. The first horse to arrive at this site was Kimiko. He was a rescue, and he's also the inspiration for a place near Sedona that offers grief counseling and support by tapping into the soul-nourishing synergy between animals and human beings. But Kimiko isn't alone. The farm is home to nearly 60 rescued animals, including goats, donkeys, and a pig. When Joanne Cacciatore set out from an Arizona trailhead in April 2015, she was looking forward to an enjoyable hike in a beautiful landscape. But a few minutes into her trek, she encountered a horse that would not only interrupt the trip, but also change her life. The pack animal had been severely abused and was barely able to stand. Open sores on its back were so deep that exposed bone was visible. Although Cacciatore is a lifelong animal lover, the Arizona State University professor had never owned a horse and knew little about equine care, but she decided the horse in the trail had to be rescued and that she was a person to do it. After turning around and making some phone calls, Cacciatore rescued the animal 3 days later. She housed him in a small pasture near Sedona and enlisted veterinarians to help with his numerous medical issues, including being at least 600 pounds underweight. An Odom client suggested the horse's name should be Kimiko, which means two souls who came together in a moment. When she rescued Kimiko, Cacciatore's academic focus at ASU was on finding ways to help people cope with traumatic grief, a topic she began researching in 1994 after the death of her infant daughter. As she showered Kimiko with love in 2015, his health began to improve, but she also noticed the impact he had on her clients. The rescue experience showed her an approach to grief, counseling, and support that she hadn't previously explored in her research. And from that soul-nourishing synergy between animals and humans, the Sela Care Farm was born. A decade after Kimiko's rescue, he's healthy, enjoys all the food he can eat, and shares a large pasture with several other rescued horses. The 20-acre Sela Care Farm in central Arizona is now home to some 60 rescued animals and counting. In addition to the horses, there are about a dozen goats, several donkeys, an alpaca, a pig, chickens, cows, sheep, dogs, and cats. The sanctuary, nestled against the tree-lined banks of Oak Creek, is funded through private donations. Clients visit alone or attend guided group retreats after experiencing a traumatic loss, such as the death of a child or the unexpected death of a family member. The method focuses on coping with tragedy through immersion in the natural world rather than running from the pain or treating grief as a medical disease. Animals give us a sense of emotional connection and belonging, Cacciatore says, while surrounded by goats jockeying for her attention. She notes that studies have proven that proximity to animals helps release calming hormones such as oxytocin in the human brain. When my daughter died, the best source of support was my two dogs, she adds. They never averted their gaze when I was crying. They would just lie next to me and put their head on my lap and be sad with me. Before Cacciatore and her husband bought the land to create the care farm, it was a vineyard where many native plants had been removed to grow grapes. Over the past decade, the two have restored the landscape with willows and other native plants that are thriving in a healing oasis. Things come and grow here, Cacciatore says, while a goat closes her eyes as Cacciatore strokes her head. There is a mutual respect and compassion for the earth and our animal brethren, and in that context, everything prospers. She's documented her successes with the care farm model in academic papers, and she's also the author of the critically acclaimed book, Bearing the Unbearable, Love, Loss, and the Heartbreaking Path of Grief. The facility became a lifeline for Rachel Cox after her three-year-old son, Zadie, was killed in 2015. Cox was walking across a store parking lot in Flagstaff with her young daughter in one hand and Zadie in the other. A distracted driver ran into them and her son did not survive. For Cox, it was not just the animals that helped her cope, but the community of fellow grieving parents with whom she bonded. We were all going through hell, she recalls, of her first experience at one of Cacciatore's retreats for bereaved parents. She says she was initially filled with anger about the accident and wanted to escape group discussions that caused her to relive the trauma. But then there was a shift. I began to experience community with the other parents, she says, and it became the only place she felt free to express whatever came up. The care farm gives you the space to cry and to laugh at a time when it feels like laughing isn't appropriate, she adds. Since Adi's death, Cox has become a regular visitor. When she walks the grounds beneath restored willow groves, she says she feels Adi's playful presence. One of her favorite activities is bouncing on a trampoline, something the goats also enjoy. There is nothing like bereaved moms jumping on a trampoline with goats, she says, laughing. Cacciatore says the job of the animals at the Sila care farm is simply to live and heal. It isn't a petting zoo, and the horses aren't ridden since they have already carried enough. But the mere presence of the rescued animals is powerful medicine for visitors just the same. I have had so many people tell me that Chemico is what inspired them to keep going, Cacciatore says. Animals who were rescued and are now safe give us a pragmatic view of what's possible. These animals have been beaten and cast aside, and yet, with love and compassion, they learn to trust in the world again. Sila Care Farm is located near Sedona. Phone numbers 602-279-6477. Website missfoundation.org/Sila, S-E-L-A-H, hyphen, Care Farm. And this concludes Sila Care Farm. Ellen Boyd is the author of Buffalo Park. Today, Flagstaff Buffalo Park is a scenic gateway for casual hikers seeking views of Mount Eldon and Humphreys Peak. But beneath the soft crunch of the gravel paths lies the quirky history of a mid-20th century dream that aimed to bring the Old West to life as a theme park. Flagstaff purchased the land that later became Buffalo Park from the U.S. Forest Service in the late 1950s. In 1964, the entrepreneur and Flagstaff Chamber of Commerce president, James Potter, spearheaded an effort to lease the site from the city and operate it as a tourist attraction, one that also served as a refuge for elk, deer, and pronghorns, along with bison, which were misidentified as buffalo. Gwen Groth, executive director of the Northern Arizona Pioneers Historical Society, says the park even boasted a touch of Hollywood royalty. Lucille Ball donated a stagecoach, and Ball's brother led tours. Another feature was the bison statue at the entrance, which still greets hikers today. Back then, it was a frequent target for local students. The poor buffalo was always getting repainted, either for senior pranks or maybe April Fool's Day, Groth says. You would just never know when the poor buffalo was going to be polka-dotted or the colors of Coconino High School or the colors of Flagstaff High School. As for the live bison, they would at times exact revenge on nearby residents. A former police chief once shared stories of trying to herd escaped bison back to the park. Officers would be called up there with their cruisers to try to move them off of the playground at Seacrest Elementary School, and they wouldn't budge, Groh says. They would just stare at the patrol car and stay in place. Amid winter storm damage and financial hardships, the amusement park was shuttered in 1969. In 1973, the Flagstaff City Council rededicated the site for municipal recreation. And while the live bison and amusement park rides are things of the past, people can still imagine what Buffalo Park used to be. It's a place, Gross says, where the history of the community is kept intact and serves as an appetizer for the wilder trails of the neighboring San Francisco peaks. Buffalo Park is located in Flagstaff. Website flagstaff.com/Buffalo Park. And this concludes Buffalo Park. This month, June in history. On June 2, 2016, a meteor lit up the night sky over Arizona before breaking into countless pieces in the eastern part of the state. Later the same month, a team of researchers from Arizona State University found 15 meteorite fragments on White Mountain Apache tribe land. Elvis Presley's first performance in Tucson occurred on June 10, 1956 at the city's rodeo grounds. Tickets were $2 at the door, and some 2,000 fans attended. A reviewer from the Arizona Daily Star described Presley as writhing, twitching, squirming, and exercising the entire body along with the vocal cords. And this concludes This Month in History. Melissa L. Savigny is the author of Wildfire Espresso and Smoothie Bar. The Orona family has deep roots in Eager. George Orona was born to a ranching family in the area, and he and his wife, Audrey, raised three children in the small eastern Arizona mountain town. In 2011, Audrey dreamed up the idea of opening a coffee bar to bring foot traffic into the family's stove-selling storefront. In the middle of that remodel, though, the Wallow Fire, still the largest wildfire in state history, forced the Oronas to evacuate, and the term wildfire was born. Today, a map of the Wallow Fire hangs in the entryway of the coffee shop's current location. The menu of espresso drinks and all-natural fruit smoothies includes alternative milk options and 40 syrup flavors ranging from hibiscus to prickly pear. The eclectic options give the sense of a hip urban coffee shop, as does the building itself, constructed from a quartet of shipping containers. The need for a new building became clear at the start of the COVID-19 pandemic, when the Oronas hastily added a walk-up window to stay open. "It's essential to have coffee," George says with a grin. They wanted a drive-through, so they bought an empty lot on Main Street and drew up a design inspired by shipping container buildings they'd seen during their travels. The permitting office was skeptical, and so were the neighbors. "Just trust us," Audrey told them. When Wildfire reopened in 2023, everyone was amazed at what it became, Audrey says. "It made us proud and happy that we could add something to the community, something different, something nice." The interior has what Audrey calls a warm industrial feel. Exposed container doors alternate with brick and locally milled ponderosa pine. Customers can gather around the fireplace or sit on the sun-warmed patio. "We built this thing with our own sweat, blood, and tears," George says. When friends and neighbors pitched in, he adds, "it was like a barn raising." Specialty drinks include the Honeysuckle, a Breve coffee sweetened with local honey, and the Super Trooper, a banana, chocolate, and peanut butter smoothie named for the state trooper who requested it. A seasonal favorite is a pumpkin chai spice smoothie topped with maple bourbon cold cream. Stormy Orona, a daughter-in-law, bakes the shop's sourdough treats, and the Oronas' daughter, Sarah Martin, runs a connected hair salon. Locals are the bread and butter of the business, but Wildfire also catches tourists on their way to hunt, fish, or hike in the White Mountains. "Customers tell me, I love the vibe, I love the family feel, the cozy warmth," Audrey says. "That's what I want. I want people to feel at home." The coffee shop does have a drive-through too, but it's worth getting out of the car and staying a while. "We're always willing to sit down and visit with somebody," George says. The Wildfire Espresso and Smoothie Bar is located at 557 North Main Street in Eager. Phone number 928-333-3851. And this concludes Wildfire Espresso and Smoothie Bar. Annette McGivney is also the author of Welcome Stranger. The Arizona Trail runs for 800 miles across the state from the U.S.-Mexico border to Utah. Most people hike it in small segments, but others attempt the entire thing in one long adventure. It's not easy because of limited water and extreme conditions, but a legion of volunteers, colloquially known as trail angels, are out there to help, offering thru-hikers a place to sleep, a home-cooked meal, and some human interaction. After years in a demanding state government job and a lifetime of frigid Minnesota winters, Mary Jo Kivadera was ready to move someplace warm and peaceful when she retired. In February 2018, she bought a home in Superior, having been drawn by the town's mild climate and scenic location at the foot of the Superstition Mountains. The modest three-bedroom house was the perfect retirement sanctuary, with a front porch where Kivadera could sit in a chair, swing, and relish desert sunsets. But there was one problem. She was lonely. All her children and grandchildren were back in Minnesota. "I came from a family of 9 kids," she says. "A house full of people was normal for me." The solution came walking down Kivadera's street one afternoon in March of that year when she was sitting on the porch. A man carrying a large backpack explained he was in the middle of thru-hiking the Arizona Trail, trekking 800 miles from the Utah state line to the border with Mexico. The hiker asked Kivadera for directions into a store in Superior, and she invited him to take a break on the porch so she could learn more about his adventure. Rivadera was surprised to find out that a trailhead for the Arizona Trail was just 4.5 miles from her house. And through a bit more research, she also discovered a legion of volunteers across the state, colloquially called angels, who swoop in to offer Arizona Trail hikers help and provide them a place to sleep and home-cooked meals. Kivadera rarely has an empty house today. As an Arizona Trail angel for more than 8 years, she estimates she's hosted some 1,000 people from all over the world free of charge. And Kivadera is not alone in her hospitality. Dozens of angels living in communities from Fredonia to Patagonia play a critical role in making the trail one of the most popular long-distance hiking destinations in the United States. Many of the volunteers are so devoted to feeding and housing their guests that they redesign their homes to create comfortable hiker hostels. The angels are heaven sent for hikers who find themselves needing a ride on the side of a highway or desperate for a warm bed during a surprise snowstorm. But in today's world, where strangers, especially those who appear different from what's familiar, are often viewed with suspicion, taking in hikers with dirty clothes and unknown histories might seem strange or even dangerous. Kivadera sometimes gets raised eyebrows and concerned comments from her neighbors when they learn she's involved in what hikers call angeling. The neighbors wonder, why would anyone do that? While no money is made from volunteering to support hikers, there is a different payoff, and has turned out to be life-changing for dedicated angels such as Kivadera. Creating a trail that stretched the length of the Grand Canyon State was the brainchild of Flagstaff math teacher Dale Shewalter. With so many existing trails on public lands, he figured there must be a way to link Arizona's crown jewels and other scenic spots with one epic path that would rival other long trails in the United States, such as the Appalachian and Pacific Coast trails. Shewalter scouted a possible route in 1985 as he trekked from Nogales at the Mexican border all the way to the Utah state line. He championed the Arizona Trail idea to federal and state land managers, as well as to outdoor recreation groups, and a coalition was formed to make the dream a reality. In 2009, Congress designated the 800-mile Arizona Trail a national scenic trail, one of only 11 in the United States. The unbroken official path was formally completed in 2011 with the construction of a trail segment along the Gila River. The trail is rocky, remote, and waterless in many places, but it also showcases the state's best southeastern Arizona's Sky Islands, Saguaro National Park, the Superstitions and Mazatzal Mountains, Mogollon Rim Country, the San Francisco Peaks, and the Grand Canyon. The trail is harder than most people think, says Matthew Nelson, executive director of the Arizona Trail Association. Many start a thru hike, but they don't finish. He adds that in recent years, 300 to 400 thru hikers have completed the 800-mile trek annually. That's up dramatically from when the trail was officially christened. Back then, just a handful of people successfully made the trek, which generally takes 6 to 8 weeks if attempted in one fell swoop. While most hikers are from the United States, an ATA survey found that in 2024, people came from 21 different countries to attempt the trek, proving that the long-distance trail is on the bucket list of hikers from all over the world. The Arizona Trail may be the most solitary long trail in the United States, says author Tom Zollner, who thru-hiked it by himself in 2019 and wrote a book about his experience titled Rim to River, Looking into the Heart of Arizona. He adds, you can go for days without seeing another person. As a result, gateway communities along the route play a critical role in giving through hikers a reprieve from the relentless wilderness, along with a chance to resupply on food and small-town hospitality. These enclaves are where the angels live. The angels offer a wonderful human component to the experience after the periods of solitude, Zellner says. The kindness they exhibit toward hikers and the pride they take in their communities is really something to witness. Arizona says the Angel Network for the Arizona Trail started about 10 years ago when volunteers who had been caching water for hikers along dry stretches wanted to do more. They never got to see the hikers when they were just leaving water in the backcountry, he says. So the volunteers began offering hikers a ride to town or their spare bedroom for the night. The Trail Angel Program is not officially affiliated with the ATA, but the organization maintains a database of angels and their contact information on its website. Hikers usually reach out via text message, or through a dedicated Facebook page during the trip. It is one of the most beautiful parts of the Arizona Trail experience, the way hikers and angels pass through each other's lives, Nelson says. There is this instant friendship and cultural exchange that is so rare in today's world. Tim and Melody Varner, a longtime angel couple in Flagstaff, received a text message in October 2025 from a German woman named Melina Kiel. The Arizona Trail's fall southbound season was in full swing as thru-hikers who'd started at the Utah state line made their way into Flagstaff. The northbound season for hikers who start at the Mexican border begins in the spring. "Can I stay with you?" Kiel asked. The 30-year-old photographer from Frankfurt, Germany, was attempting a solo thru-hike. She planned to reach the Sandy Seep trailhead just outside Flagstaff the next day. The Varners leapt into action. Melody arranged to pick up Kiel at the trailhead, and Tim went to the grocery store so they'd have the ingredients to cook plenty of comfort food for their guest. Other thru-hikers have jokingly called Tim and Melody's house the Varner Vortex because visitors feel so pampered they don't want to leave. Retired and in their mid-70s, the Varners have lived in their bright, spacious home for 30 years. "We don't spend our money going out to restaurants," Tim said before Kyle arrived. "We like to take care of people. We even compete on who gets to cook for them. He's especially fond of making fresh baked sourdough bread and pies for his guests. Everybody who comes here is on some kind of personal journey," he added. "People from other places are so excited to see the Grand Canyon and the desert. You get caught up in that energy. And even though they just stay for a few days, I feel like I know them forever." A guest book on the Varner's coffee table attests to the hundreds of hikers who visited their home over the past decade. The first was a Japanese blueberry farmer who went by the trail name Courage. Others came from Canada, South Africa, Poland, the Netherlands, and the Czech Republic. And some ended up moving to Flagstaff and becoming trail angels themselves. When Kyle walked through the front door with Melody, her face was red from hiking in unseasonable heat and her water bottles were empty. Tim took her pack, put a cold drink in her hand, and led her upstairs, where the Varner's second floor has been converted into a hiker Hilton with two bedrooms, a bathroom with a walk-in shower, and white terry cloth robes sporting an emblazoned AZT guest. The Varners have also built a tiny house in their backyard for hikers who want some privacy. "You can just throw your dirty clothes down this laundry chute," Tim said as he leaned over a hamper in the corner of the bathroom. "We will wash them for you." "Oh, that would be amazing," Kyle explained. She seemed stunned by the posh accommodations after having slept on the ground for more than a week. But there wasn't much time for lounging around. Kyle had an ambitious hiking schedule to keep. After pancake breakfast the next morning, Melody took Kyle to a trailhead in Flagstaff so she could resume her trek. 2 weeks later, after hiking across Mogollon Rim Country and the Mazatzals, Kyle surfaced in Superior, which he'd arranged to stay at Kivadera's house. Several other hikers were bunking there as well. Since becoming a trail angel in 2018, Kivadera has transformed her home to comfortably accommodate as many guests as possible. Two sets of bunk beds are in one bedroom, and a second bedroom is outfitted with a double bed for couples. Her kitchen table seats five, and a vintage camper sits in the driveway for additional visitors. Bookshelves in the living room are lined with Arizona guidebooks, and baskets loaded with foot care balm are scattered throughout the house. Every morning, Kivadera bakes blueberry muffins for her guests. "I know how much of a struggle it is out there, hiking in the desert," she says of her visitors, "so I try to provide for whatever their needs are." That devotion is taking care of exhausted strangers earned Kivadera the 2024 Trail Angel of the Year Award from the American Long Distance Hiking Association West. Kiel had limped into Superior with a painful foot she sprained while crossing rocky terrain. Kivadera took her to an aging care clinic and persuaded her to kick back while the swelling went down. Determined to make it all the way to Mexico, Kiel resumed her solo trek a few days later, knowing she wasn't truly alone. She could call on the Angel Network if she needed additional help. Jeff and Yakita K. Hoff bought their three-bedroom home in Kearney in 2021, and after learning how close they were to the Arizona Trail, they became angels soon after moving in. The Huffs estimate they've hosted between 800 and 900 hikers in 5 years. That number includes Kyle, who arrived in November, still nursing her sprained foot. We've had everyone from doctors and lawyers to kids in their 20s who were trying to figure out their purpose in life, Jeff says. We enjoy sitting on the back patio with our guests and sharing stories. Q adds, I believe all our visitors can make our lives better and we can make their lives better. The Huff's philosophy about being trail angels is summed up by a sign on their patio. We host the world from our backyard. With the help of several more angels in southern Arizona, Kyle made it to the Mexican border on November 22, 2025. She recorded the moment when she touched the Arizona Trail's southern terminus marker with her trekking pole, then shared the video on social media. The angels rejoiced at the news of her accomplishment. I've had many young people tell me that they've learned a lot about the importance of giving back during the 2 or 3 days they stayed with us, Tim Varner says. They are always so grateful, but we get much more out of being angels than we give. It makes me feel good and it restores my faith in humanity. As far as Kivadira is concerned, the motivation for being an angel is simple. For her, a full house equals a full heart. And this concludes, Welcome, Stranger. Kelly Vaughn is the author of Humpback Chubs. According to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, humpback chubs, Gila sypha, evolved 3.5 million years ago. Today in Arizona, they're found only in the Little Colorado River, the Colorado River, and Havasu Creek. Named for the enlarged lumps on their necks, the fish can grow to 1.5 feet in length and weigh up to 2.6 pounds. Humpback chubs were protected under the Endangered Species Act in 1973, and recently management efforts have been fruitful. The Little Colorado River population in the Grand Canyon is now estimated at 11,000 fish. And this concludes Humpback Chubs. That concludes today's readings from Arizona Highways. Did you know that if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org? Log on to sunsounds.org, left-click on Broadcast Info and Audio, then under Programming Links, left-click on Demand Podcasts. In addition, you can now listen to Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or other smart home device. This is Kathy Damaris, volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona.